Our scripture reading tonight is from Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will be my people and I will be your God. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask that you would be present with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, one more time, we long for you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been spending these Thursday nights in Lent looking at our hearts. Lent, as we've talked about, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of examination, time of preparation, as we get ready over the next week to walk through Holy Week with Jesus. My prayer is always that as we walk these familiar roads, God would make them fresh to us, that we would just not go through the motions of a familiar story, but that God would prick our hearts and that he would call us his own and he would reveal his love and his grace and his truth to us in brand new ways. Sunday is Palm Sunday. Next Thursday, instead of being here with the band, we will be here with Craig and the traditional Maundy-Thursday service, which is also has a little touch of Good Friday in it, where we'll have communion, and then Sunday we come back for Easter Sunday morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, our very hope. But tonight, before all that happens, we look at these verses from the prophet Ezekiel, who prophesied during the exile of Babylon, probably from Babylon, to Judah and to Jerusalem. And Ezekiel had some wild visions of God and some very cool pictures of the glory of God with these chariot wheels and flames going. And he had a lot of words to say to the nations that surrounded him. But he also shows us a lot of God's promises, God's truths, God's commandments that are fulfilled in the Messiah. These promises to God's people of Judah in their exile, that he had not abandoned them. No matter what they had done, no matter how many idols they had, no matter how many times they had forsaken him, he would not forsake them. For the sake of his name, he tells us a couple verses earlier, not because of anything that the people of Judah have done or even any goodness in them, but for the sake of his name, God promises to bring them home, to restore them to the land he promised them, and then to do these other marvelous promises. Because God is who he is, and he cannot be any other. God is always faithful. He is always loving. He is always kind. He is always good. There is no other way he can be. So even though his people broke his heart and his people disappointed him and his people abandoned him, still, because he is who he is, he remained faithful to them, just as he remains faithful to us today. And he makes these beautiful promises that we see fulfilled in Messiah, in Jesus. He says, I'll sprinkle you with water and you will be clean. I'll wipe away your filth. And our minds immediately think of not only baptism, but the blood of Jesus Christ with which we are sprinkled with, that washes us like water, that makes us new. And he says, I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. And I'll take that heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh instead, so that you'll love me, so that you'll follow my commands, so that you'll know my words, and so that I'll be your God and you'll be my people. It's promises that are made true to us in Jesus Christ, promised hundreds of years before, of this transforming work that God longs to do in our lives. You know, sometimes we ask the question, can people change? And there are a lot of people who believe absolutely not. I have a friend who says to me all the time, a duck is a duck is a duck. You know, if you're once a duck, you'll always be a duck. You'll never change. And in our own human strength, change is almost impossible. Sometimes we see people with some tremendous amount of willpower make a change in their life, but it's hard for that to stay. And so we're tempted to think sometimes people can't change. You know, we say that about ourselves. We say, well, that's just who I am. You know, that's one of my flaws or one of my whatever, and that's just who I am. Take it or leave it, sort of. And so how desperately we need to hear this promise from God that change is possible, that change is God's desire for us, that we do not have to stay where we are. But God has so much more for us. And God is always, always working to transform us into the image of his Son. And because this process of sanctification is the big theological word we use for it, this process of being made holy is sometimes slow and sometimes gradual. And we are somehow all at once new creations, new creatures in Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, his Holy Spirit is working out in us the things that need to be worked out. It's easy to become discouraged because we so often are aware of our own brokenness and our own hard hearts. Sometimes we forget the glimpses God is giving us of the work that he's doing in us. And more, he calls us to surrender our hearts so that he can do this transforming work in us. Ezekiel says several times in his prophecy about God giving us a new heart and putting a new spirit in us. God is the greatest heart surgeon of all times, if you will. And he longs to do his transforming work in our hearts. Jeremiah tells us that God says that the time is coming and has come through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit where God will speak his law, speak his word right to our minds, and he will write it on our hearts. And, you know, that's part of what God is doing as we spend time in the scriptures. You know, we're not just reading this kind of crazy compilation of a lot of books into one big book so that we can gain a whole bunch of knowledge and know things about God and do really well maybe in Bible trivia. As we spend time in God's word, as we read his scriptures, as we let them richly dwell in us, as we let him speak his truth into our lives, through them, he's doing the very thing he promised, and that's when he's writing them on our hearts. So that his truth is no longer something that's outside of us, but it's something that comes alive inside of us. It becomes part of the very heart of who we are. So that when we're in those desperate places, when we're struggling, when we feel far from God, when our emotions have messed us up or confused us, we have God's truth written on our very heart. We have his very spirit inside of us, regenerating us, transforming us, making us new. I want to think particularly tonight about God's promise to take our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh. And that's what he does when we come to that place where we recognize our great need for God through Jesus Christ. When we claim Jesus as our Savior, when we ask him to forgive our sins, when we ask him to come into our lives, when we're saved, when we're born again, whatever word you want to use, when we're justified by faith, when we're washed clean, when we're dressed in the robes of righteousness, God does that. He does a heart transplant on us. But we continue to struggle with hard hearts. Our hearts are hard sometimes by the sin in our own life, by the choices that we make, by our own insistence on being independent people and self-sufficient, by how hard it is for us sometimes to submit our lives and our wills and our hearts to the Father who loves us, to let him have his way in us, to let his grace be enough, to let his power be made perfect in our weakness, because for some reason we feel like we want to try real hard on our own. And sometimes that makes our heart hard. Sometimes our hearts get hard by just the situations of life, by the fact that we live in a broken world and we get weary of seeing starving children and young girls sold into sexual slavery, and the anger and the hostility that goes on between people, even people in our own country, between races and genders and all sorts of other things, and all that brokenness of our world sometimes get hard in our hearts. Sometimes from things that happen in our life, circumstances that are beyond our control, can harden our hearts. And God's continual offer to us, his continual promise to us, is that he wants to chip off those hard places. He wants to exchange those hard places in our heart for places that are soft, that are made of flesh, that are beating in time with his heart. It's so easy to let our hearts get hard. We can harden our own hearts. We see it throughout Scripture where people, Pharaoh's a good example, that hardened his own heart. Psalm 95 tells us that if today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Let him break your heart open. Let him speak his love and his grace and his truth to your heart. Don't let it become a hard place. God longs to give us that new heart. He longs to see our hearts transformed. I had an experience recently as I was praying, and this is one of the things I love most about prayer, and this is one of the reasons that I pray. You all have spent enough time with me to know how strongly I believe in prayer, to know that I believe that prayer is our very best weapon in our arsenal that God gives us, that it's our first line of defense, not the last dollar we pull out of our wallet. Prayer has an amazing place in the life of a believer, of God's chosen people. And as we pray, sometimes we watch God change circumstances and we are blown away. But one of the things I love most about prayer is so often God changes us. As we open our heart in his presence, and that's what we're doing when we pray, we're sharing our heart with him. He somehow, in the midst of answering our prayers, transforms us. And I was praying recently, and, you know, I'm a very fallible human being, and I can stand up here week after week, and I often do give you examples of my own struggles and my own failings. And sometimes when I really strongly disagree with people, or I think people are kind of ridiculous, or I've been on Facebook for too long, I do what I consider rolling my eyes. And that's not always a physical eye roll. Sometimes it's a mental eye roll. Just like, oh my goodness, what is wrong with people? And I was praying this week, God really impressed on my heart. He told me, instead of rolling your eyes, instead of being discouraged or disgusted or throwing your hands up, rolling your eyes, pray. And it broke my heart. Because I realized how slow I am to pray for people who frustrate me. How slow I am to pray for people who think differently than I do. How slow I am to pray for people that I think are wrong. And God wanted to chisel that heart place off my heart and give me a heart of flesh instead. And then you know what he did? Within 24 hours, he gave me two opportunities to pray for people that I roll my eyes at. That's what he longs to do in us. He longs to change us. It's a perfect example going on as I pray, as we pray, God change that person or change that situation, that God's Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans too deep for us to understand. He takes our prayers, which feel halting and stumbling and self-consumed, and he transforms them into the prayers they should be. And it gives God the opportunity to do the work he longs to do in our hearts. And somehow we pray thinking somehow we're interceding for other people, we're covering other people with God's grace, which we are, but somehow it turns out that we are the recipient of the greatest blessing. Because somehow as we bow before him, as we open our hearts up before him, we give him whatever room he needs to do this transforming work. But he takes these hearts and they make them look more like his heart. Sometimes we don't get big glimpses of what he's doing. Sometimes we just have to trust that as we daily submit our hearts to him, he will transform us. So this is what I'd love for us to do tonight. Maybe you know places in your heart that are hard. Maybe they're hard against a person, or maybe they're hard against a circumstance, or maybe they're even hard against God, because he hasn't done what you expected him to do, or you feel like he hasn't heard your prayers, or you feel like somehow he let you down. Maybe your whole heart is hard, maybe just a little tiny piece of it is. But if you know a place in your heart where it's hard, hold on to that for a minute. If you're not sure, I want you to take a minute and just ask God to show you. Give him permission to tap you on the shoulder and say, that place right there where your heart's hard. And then we'll pray together. So just take a minute and spend a minute with God. See what he has to say. Lord, we thank you that you love us just the way we are. Hard hearts and all. Lord, we thank you that there's nothing we could do to make you love us better. But we thank you that you love us so much that you long to do your transforming work in us. That you long to work in us to make us the people that you've created us, that you've called us to be. That from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, you're transforming us into the image of your Son. That we look more like you, that we respond more like you, that we love more like you. God, that's who we want to be. We want to be your people. We want to be vessels of grace and healing and mercy and love in a world that is so desperate for it. So God, tonight we lift up to you these really hard places in our heart. Some of us maybe have one or two. Some of us have a whole heart that's hard. We lift them up to you, God. We ask that you would come in and give us a new heart. Put a new spirit within us. Take these hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh. God, we can't do it on our own. We can't try hard enough to make ourselves like you. That only happens by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we can't possibly be the people that you call us to be, to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to bless those who curse us, to love the unlovable, to reach out to the hungry and the hurting and the homeless and the imprisoned and the sick. We can't do any of that, God, if your Spirit doesn't do his work in us. So God, show us tonight what relationships we need to surrender to you, what people we need to surrender to you, what situations we need to surrender to you, what emotions that get in our way, Lord. What fear, what anger, what stress, what depression, what sadness, what grief, Lord, we need to just ask you to come in and touch us. and heal us and love us whole. Lord God, we thank you that you're good. And I just ask that you remind us tonight how good you are, how faithful you are, how loving you are, how kind you are, how faithful you are. Remind us tonight, God, that we can put our trust in you no matter what's going on, no matter how high the waves, no matter how dark the night, no matter how fierce the storm, God, we can trust in you because you will not let us go. In our uncertainties and the things that scare us, Lord, we can trust you. So tonight, God, we take our little mustard seed of faith and we trust you to keep your promises and to keep your promise, Lord, to give us a new heart. Help us to see you, God, this week, softening those places in our hearts, taking stone and turning it into flesh. We thank you and we praise you that you're our God, that we're your people, that you continue to redeem, to restore, to transform us. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.